Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Back to another edition of Trendy presented by Omaha, the show where we like to compete while exploring the best way to wager for casual cappers. And we are back after our first week off from the year, which I hope you guys enjoyed because you did not have to listen to any of my nonsense. I have brought a professional guest in this week after whooping up on Brett last time out, 14.5 to 6.8. And instead, I have brought in a ringer. It is Nate Lundy from Mile High Sports. How are you doing, Nate?
I am good, but why? How in the hell did I get categorized as a pro? That is a stretch, man. That is a long, that's a Victor Wembanyama size stretch for you to call me a pro.
Well, it's your fault because you go on the mic with Brad Evans a couple of times a week and everybody looks like a pro next to that cloud. So
that's true.
Partner.
Yeah, it's really true. If I surround myself with people that just appear absolutely insane, then yes, I somehow wind up looking like I'm slightly more grounded than the average individual. And that definitely happens with Brad. But yes, we do the Fade 5 podcast throughout the week with our picks. And you were kind enough to invite me here with you. This is going to be fun. I like this.
It is going to be fun, Nate. And so like, you do the Fade 5 podcast with Brad. We've had Brad on a lot on this show since him and I are close. And you and I have been close over the years because I have been kind of producing that show behind the scenes, and you guys are fantastic. We share a lot of DNA between that format and this format. I hope everybody is checking it out. So before we jump into this week's picks, Nate, I think it is important for two things. For people to understand your background, which is just interesting for people at home who kind of want to get on the mic themselves, and then understand, more importantly, your bias. Because biases always find their way into your betting lines. And I want people to know that everybody knows mine at this point, but I make every guest admit theirs before they start giving out picks. So before we do the biases, tell a little bit more people about Mile High Sports, how you got into the industry, and what you do now.
All right. So I started in radio when I was a junior in high school. That is how long. I don't want to admit how long ago that was, but that was a long ass time ago, folks, that I started out doing radio. I have done talk radio. I have done sports radio. I have done music radio as a DJ. I've done all of that. My career turned me into a talk radio program director at a very young age. I grew up in Oregon. So an early bias to let everybody know about, I'm an Oregon State grad. I despise the Oregon Ducks with every single cell in my body. And so because of that, you will note that I will never, and I mean never, pick the Ducks for anything, whether I'm doing that in conversation casually at a sports bar or whether I'm doing it with cash when it comes to money. I absolutely despise the Ducks. So there's one bias I'll get out of the way right now. My career has taken me coast to coast. I have gone from Oregon to South Carolina to Tennessee to Texas to Florida. And now here in Denver, I have been in Denver for over 14 years. It is one of my favorite cities on the planet. Absolutely love it here. And so I've been enjoying things. I have been at the helm of Mile High Sports now for almost 7 years, started by a couple of friends, back in 2002. And then I came in and took over, in 2017. So I have done radio. I have done television. I've done a show with our good friend, Brad Evans, that you were just talking about. We did a fantasy football show together that was syndicated, available in over 100 million households. At one point, I've also done a sports betting show here locally in, the Rocky Mountain region called You Bet Tonight. Do the podcast with Brad. I've gotten a little bit of everything. I always say that part of the reason that Brad wants me on the podcast and part of the reason that we do the Fade 5 on YouTube and all of that is that he's very jealous of my hair. Since he has none, and he likes to point that out a lot. So there's a little bit of my background. Biases. I already gave you my biggest one, and that is, like, my wife makes fun of me, okay, for how much hatred I have for the Ducks. It is a true story that if I drive past a vehicle on like Interstate 25 here in Denver. If they have the Oregon O in the back window, I will flip them off. I mean, I'm not kidding. My hatred is so deep for that team that it's insane. So that is one of my biases. Another bias that I have from a sports standpoint, I was in San Antonio for three of the five championships that the Spurs had. So I am a big Nuggets fan. You'll see that with some of the picks that are coming up here on the show today. But I'm also a Spurs fan because I was there for the championships, because I dealt with Greg Popovich one-on-one, because I've interviewed Duncan a million times and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and Robert Horry and all the guys that were a part of those championship teams. So I still bleed a little bit of silver and black, even though I have not been in San Antonio for a very long time. It's been more than 15 years since I lived in San Antonio. But I still have some silver and black blood in me because I was there. I was in the stands. I wasn't even working. I was in the stands as a fan when they came back in the fourth quarter to beat the Detroit Pistons in game seven to win the championship there. I have some great experiences with the Spurs. I tell everybody I'm one of the few people outside of San Antonio that still has love for Popovich. I know a lot of people don't like Pop because of how he acts and his attitude with the media and all of that. I love the guy to death. I believe he's the best coach in NBA history. And I am biased towards that. So I definitely have those. I've got some Denver bias as well. And then the last one that I throw out there, my wife is a diehard Jayhawk. She graduated from KU. She is a big time Kansas basketball fan. And so the rule with Brad and I is if I ever pick at all against KU, we keep it really quiet. And then we hope that my wife is not listening to that particular episode of the podcast.
So I do have to ask, is your hatred of Oregon so much that it like outstrips your survival instinct? So if I invited another friend of the network on, Jeff Swartz, proud Oregon Duck, former NFL lineman, about 6'7", you know, big guy. If I invited him on right now under the Zoom, would you have told that same story? Or would you have started saying, you know, how much you love the Ducks?
No, I would tell the exact same story. And here's an example of why. Back when the Broncos were actually good, and they signed TJ Ward, who is also a Duck. And is a hell of a football player and kind of intimidating to stand next to be honest with you. I remember telling him that I was an Oregon State grad and that I was going to tolerate his crap, despite the fact that just because he was on the Broncos, and he just starts laughing. And we started talking about what years I was at Oregon State and all of that. I told TJ to his face how much I hate the Ducks. So I figure if I can pull that off, I can pull off just about anything. Now, that said, I love Justin Herbert. I'm a Justin Herbert fan. I like the guy. I think he carries himself well. I want to see him have success now with Harbaugh in LA. So it really is focused on the team and not so much on the players themselves. I try not to make it personal. It's much more about, I mean, dude, they could be playing freaking water polo and I will root and bet against them. My absolute despise for that university, man. Yeah. I can't stand him.
For those of you listening on the podcast right now, he's actually shaking with anger right now. We brought up nothing but the name of the school.
I'm sitting here with an Oregon State coffee mug in my hand as we're recording. So yeah, it's real, folks. It's real.
And it's hard not to feel personal when they kind of collapsed the Pac-12 and left your guys behind. So I can see why you'd be angrier.
That certainly added some to it. It sure did.
All right, Nate. So right before we do our picks, one last thing. What are your favorite sports to bet? What do you pay the most attention to and where do you have the most success?
What I pay the most attention to and have the most success is the National Hockey League. I love betting on hockey. I became a hockey fan about 20 years ago. I didn't grow up a hockey fan. I became a hockey fan somewhat accidentally. I say this all the time to anybody that does not follow hockey. You will not become a hockey fan, trust me, until you attend a game in person. Period. Yeah. End of story. And I don't care if it's minor league hockey. I don't care if it's college hockey. You won't understand it until you see it in person, and then you will understand how cool this sport is, in my opinion. I don't believe it's one that translates entirely well to television because it's kind of hard to follow the puck and follow the movements and things like that, but you will be able to experience it in person. So I love betting on hockey. It is what I pay the most attention to, and you'll see some picks here as we go throughout the week here on the episodes. I'm not the biggest baseball fan in the world, but I have a lot of success betting on baseball, oddly enough. And maybe that's because I actually managed to take my heart out of it.
There you go. That's exactly right.
And I'm just looking at numbers and I'm analyzing stuff like that. Obviously, you can make a lot of money betting against the Colorado Rockies. But beyond that, I had an incredibly successful baseball season last year, north of 50, 60 units profitability last year in baseball. And then I'm a football fan. College and pro, I really enjoy. I dabble in college basketball. I love to watch college basketball, but for the most part, when it comes to college basketball betting, I just tail our buddy Brad because he's one of the best in the business at what he does. And I tend to just follow him more than anything else. So I like football. And I do bet on football, but I would say the sport that I probably pay the most attention to, that you will find me watching a random game, like Eastern Conference, that has nothing to do with the Avs, has nothing to do with the, like, I'll be watching, you know, I'll use an example from tonight. Columbus is playing, the Penguins. They're playing, Crosby and company. I'll be watching that game, even though it really has no bearing on my favorite team, which is the Avalanche. But I'll still wind up watching that game tonight just because I love watching hockey.
Even with Kansas going, huh? Your wife's going to let you have the remote. Well, I'm surprised.
It might be, see me holding up the phone here. I might be doing a little watching on the phone while the KUK State game is going on the big screen at the house.
All right. Well, Eddie Spaghetti, one of our producers here, has had a lot of success beating me in this contest by solely doing hockey bets. So I like your odds this week in defeating me. And so while you did not give anybody at home a path to doing this professionally, since you were born or not born with, after puberty, you got that voice and you started doing this professionally from the time you were a junior in high school. And that is just a strike with thunder from the gods. I don't know if anybody else can do that. You can come back after this break and make some people some money with your hockey pick. So let's give Caesar some love and then let's get to it, Nate.
You know, when the conversation turns stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager. Returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, we are back. And Nate, I know you are new and I usually would be polite to you, but I'm feeling myself as a defending champion. So I'm going to go ahead and take honors and lead us off in our game of heart, head, heat, or cred. And in the heart category, I am going to go to the Champions League in soccer. I noticed when you were talking about sports that you love, that the beautiful game was not one of them. Are you even going to have an opinion on this? Or should I just blow through it as your eyes glaze over?
You know what it is? I'll do to you what Brad does to me with hockey, and that is I defer to the fact that you pay more attention to it than I do. I do watch occasionally some EPL games. My sister actually lives in London. She went there for graduate school and never left. She married a Brit and still lives there. And so I pay a little bit of attention, but not enough to where I can have any kind of an educated opinion. So I tend to lean into those people that spend more time studying it.
Well, it is funny. I almost feel like hockey and soccer in America are diametrically opposed. Like there are like the Sharks and the Jets, you know, you're a bit on one side or the other because they're on each other's corner as the fourth most popular sport or whatever it might be. So you're kind of in one camp or the other, even though they share so much similarity in the structure of the actual games on the field or the ice. So I'm going to go to the Champions League. This game is tomorrow and it is Manchester City to win, but both teams to score at plus 163. And Nate, this is a bet construction that I really like for high scoring teams because Manchester City is minus 850 to win outright. And you can change it from minus 850 all the way to plus 163 by also saying that they will concede a goal. And that's dicey when they might only get one, but City might score seven times in this match. In the way that the Champions League is structured, that you play a two-leg tie is what they call it. It's the aggregate score, and they're already up 3-1. So FC Copenhagen, who is wildly outgunned in this game, cannot sit back and just defend and hope for a draw or hope for a low-scoring game. They actually have to open it up. And if you try to open it up against City, they are going to annihilate you. So I expect this one to get ugly, given the firepower available to a healthy City team to put on the field, even if they rotate. And then once they're up, 2-1 or 2-0, whatever it might be. They're up 5-1 in the tie. They often get bored. They play with their food. They try some stuff that they shouldn't be trying. And their goalkeeper, Ederson, switches off and allows a consolation goal in the second half. Seen it time and again. Think we see it again tomorrow. Happy to get all the way to plus 163 for it to happen on Wednesday afternoon.
Very smart. I like how you're doing that. It plays into how I do some of the hockey betting. You talked about the idea of somebody being way too strong on the money line. And so trying to find a way to be able to add in another game prop or a player prop or something like that, that actually helps you out. I think that's really smart. I like the play. I can't tell you whether I'll tail or fail because I don't know enough about these teams. But I can tell you that, like I said, I find folks that I believe in that study things very consistently. And I try to tail them in sports that maybe I have an interest in, but haven't spent enough time studying.
All right. Well, listen to Covering Glory every Thursday with Brett and I, Nate. We'll get you smart in no time. So who do you got? You got in the heart category. I think you're opening up with hockey. You're opening strong.
I am going to open it up in hockey, and I'm actually going to swing for the fences. I decided if I'm jumping in here as a first time guest on the podcast, we might as well take the heart and be rather ridiculous with it. and so in doing so, I'm going to take something that has plus 330 as a payday. And that is, I am going to look at the Nashville Predators. I'm going to look specifically at their center on the second line, and that is Colton Sissons. Sissons only has 15 goals on the season. And as a matter of fact, he's only got four goals since January 1st. But Nashville is at home. They are taking on a very middling and very underperforming Montreal Canadiens team this evening. And so I think Nashville is going to find the back of the net several times. And if they do that, I think it's highly possible that Sissons actually scores at that plus 330. And the reason that I like it, I told you, only 15 goals on the season, only four since January 1st. But two of those 15 happened on December 10th against this Montreal Canadiens team, and they happened on the road. So something happened in that second line matchup against Montreal, and Nashville figured out a way to be able to take advantage of it. So it's a big time bet in terms of a plus 330 payday. But I thought maybe based on how this week's going to go, it might benefit me to jump out to an early lead.
Well, we'll see how this week is going to go, because you are making the same critical move that every first-time guest goes for, which is to really fly too close to the sun on your first episode, and then you throttle back on Wednesday and Friday. So I guess I will sit this one out, because I might be the one chasing with all your hockey knowledge if you hit
all
it.
Right.
But I suspect that you are getting a little bit over your skis and getting excited in the format of going head-to-head with me. So, Nate, you talked a little bit earlier about baseball and how like you remove your heart from it. You remove biases. You just look at the whole heart numbers, and you're up 60 units. That's actually me with hockey. So I don't follow hockey anywhere near to the same extent that you do or that some of our other guests do, like Damashek and Spaghetti. But as a result, I think it's my most profitable sport. And so I always dabble in the head category, because I don't even know who these guys are. I don't watch them play. I just study the numbers. I just study the trends. I remove all biases, and I come up with something that makes sense to me, and I am plus on it on the year. So tonight, that is going to be Jason Dickinson and Fabian Zetterlund, both to fail to score an assist. So both under 0.5 assists, you put it together, it is minus 114. And this just seems one of those things, Nate, where I'm not going to overthink it. They play for the two worst offenses in the league by like a wide margin in the NHL. The Sharks only have 129 goals. The Blackhawks only have 125 goals. And to give that context to our audience, third is the Caps all the way at 160, which is a wild gap. It is a wild gap to be that far behind the rest of the league. And so if they're only going to score a couple of times, and like most of the league is doubling them up, why shouldn't I take two specific guys who are only going to be on the ice for a fraction of the game and say that these goals are basically flukes and they're just not going to be a part of it? So it seems like a really good value to get almost all the way to even money by just fading those two guys to not be part of the two goals a game that these teams score on average. So I don't know. I mean, in this particular game tonight, neither one of them are playing somebody who's like a defensive powerhouse or an offensive powerhouse. The Stars and the Coyotes sit middle of the table. So it's not like I'm getting an advantage on either one of the sides on their opponent, but I think this might become like what I call a portfolio bet, Nate. Like, as long as I'm going to get anywhere near that minus 110, minus 120 to put them together, and the offenses are so futile, I should just make this bet every single night, right? Like, why should I be off of this bet ever?
Yeah, there's a couple of things you can do when you're doing bets that you just want to continue to follow the same trends over and over again. From a hockey standpoint, you brought up some of it. You find the teams that are basically lackluster from an offensive standpoint. But the other thing you can do is you can start to look at players in what their time on ice average is. You can look for guys that don't, you know, maybe they're third liners, right? Maybe they drop all the way down to the fourth line. And so what's happening is you're seeing guys whose time on ice is really low. You're finding guys that are at, you know, 16 minutes, 16 and a half minutes or less of ice time. And that's a really good way to be able to play when you're trying to play unders in staying away from an assist or staying away from a point, things like that. So I think this is a smart way to be able to do it. And you are talking about a couple of teams that are very futile. Look, the Avs played Chicago last night. I was there at the arena, and the Avs beat them 5-0. And that's not a big surprise. The Avs are a cup favorite from the odds maker standpoint. And Chicago, with all the excitement of Connor Bedard, they still don't have enough pieces around him. This is going to be a work in progress for them. Bedard is a ton of fun to watch. He's real quick on the ice. He's really fun. I enjoyed, you know, kind of watching him away from the play last night when I was in the arena. But this Chicago team's got a ways to go. And San Jose sucks. I mean, the Sharks are just bad this year. And so I think you're playing the right way to be able to get yourself back close, as you said, to even money by basically betting on futility.
Yeah, they've both hit this bet in 85% of games this year. And Nate, one thing I like to say on this show is overs make friends, unders make money. I'm always looking to fade somebody over follow somebody. And so I get to back two guys on bad teams and getting great value for it. What are you going to play in the head category?
We're going to go to Los Angeles. The Vancouver Canucks will be there to take on the Kings. And I'm going to put all this together with a bunch of data that I think points towards JT Miller to have an assist. So you just talked about a couple of guys that won't have assists tonight. I'm going to take JT Miller to have an assist against the Kings. And you can get that one at minus 115. So pretty much standard player prop juice right now. Handful of reasons why. First and foremost, he's on a 7-game point streak with 6 goals and 7 assists. So obviously I'm leaning into the Apple side of that I want to see him have an assist. But you're talking about a guy that's, like I said, you're talking about 13 points in the last seven games. He's on the road, which always makes it a little bit nervous for me. But at the same time, I can't shy away from somebody that's on that much of a point streak. 21 career games he has played against the LA Kings, and he's got 17 assists in those 21 career games. Now I'm going to go even further on top of that. Four games last year against the Kings, four assists against the Kings. And then last Thursday on leap day, February 29th, the Canucks only managed one goal. They lost 5-1 to the Kings at home. But guess who had an assist on that one goal? It was JT Miller. That's how he had that point streak continue in that contest. So everything to me is pointing towards JT Miller continuing his point streak, getting it to eight games. But for him to have a point is way too juiced. So I'm pointing specifically at the assist. And something you alluded to, something that I like to look at with hockey, people that don't bet on hockey very often, I know you've probably talked about it here on the pod, on goals in the NHL, you've got a shot at having two assists. You're having that first assist, the second assist. So there's a couple of opportunities to be able to cash this on every goal that gets scored by Vancouver. So I'll play that with JT Miller again. Standard juice minus 115.
You know what, Nate? I've heard enough. I'm following this one. I'm going to fail this bet. If you are a hockey expert. I loved all the research that you did on that. That is a clear tail for me. I am riding with you on Miller tonight at minus 115. Let's get over to the heater category where we just give something out and kind of think about the patterns and set it and forget it. I'm excited to hear yours in a minute. I did really well a couple weeks ago by just really stripping this down and saying, I'm just going to pick a team that's better on the money line, and I'm just going to ignore everything else. I just know they're better. We're just going to take that and ride with that. And I turned a profit on that week. And now I am going Icarus on you, Nate. I accused you of doing it a minute ago. So now it's my turn to get a little too close to that flaming orb in the sky. And I'm going to take two teams that I think are clearly better and put them together to get into plus money territory each show this week. So I'm going to leave that off tonight with the Knicks money line against the Hawks and the Magic money line against the Hornets. You put those together and you are at plus 113. You were getting a discount on the Knicks because Brunson might not play, but I would still take them at home against the Hawks, who just lost back-to-back games to the Nets by double digits without Trae Young and look poised to continue to slide down out of the standings, perhaps missing the playoffs entirely. Plus, they have now been in New York City since Thursday after playing back-to-back games in Brooklyn and being at the Garden tonight, and I can absolutely see a case of the Manhattan flu developing in this team. I think the Knicks home crowd propels them to a victory, and if Brunson does play because he's only questionable, then this feels like a sure thing. To juice it up a bit more, I am going to add in that Magic team because they are going against Hornets that are just objectively terrible. They're only one game away from avoiding the play-in game, but also only one game away from hosting a first round series. So with only, 22 games or so left, they're fully incentivized to make sure they do not slip up against one of the dregs of the league. The Hornets have lost four in a row and seem destined to be sitting on five when they go into an epic showdown with the Wiz on Friday night. So I feel great about the Magic, feel good about the Knicks. And if you have that combination, a plus money always feels like nice value.
I think so as well. Am I allowed to tail this one? Can I tail this one?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah.
I'm tailing on this one. I like the woo-hoo. Look, last week, I actually did 3 days in a row where I pumped together three NBA teams just on the money line. Heavy favorites, got myself as close to plus odds or above plus odds as I could. And I hit it 3 days in a row. Of course, tried to continue the heater on the fourth day and failed miserably. But we did hit three of them. So I like what you're doing here because it's what I was doing last week. And part of this comes from where we sit in the season. We know there are plenty of times that teams just phone it in. Right. They're like, well, who cares? We're going to rest our guys. Well, the Magic are in that position. There's teams in the Western Conference that are in that position where this is important right now. Even though you've still got almost two dozen games left, it's, hey, I don't want to be in that play-in. I want to have one of the automatic spots. I want to make sure that I'm not dealing with the play-in tournament. So I like doing these, especially when you've got teams that have something to play for and other ones that are already making tee times.
Yeah, Nate, and the Magic, I said, only trail by one for hosting a first-round matchup, and the team they trail is the Knicks, so the Knicks can't throw away an opportunity to beat a Trae Youngless Hawks team tonight. So got a lot going forward in this bet. I'm glad you're on board with it. What are you going to do in the head category?
In the heater category, I'm going to go I've got a spread for tonight, obviously, but I'm going to go blind all the way into the weekend. I am calling the shot right now. Give me the Denver Nuggets against the spread in every game this week. There's a couple of reasons why I'm going to roll with that. First of all, they're on a 6-game winning streak. The next three for them are all at home. They play tonight on national TV. They're on TNT. They play tonight against Phoenix. They will play Thursday again on TNT against the Boston Celtics. And then Saturday, they will be at home against the lowly Utah Jazz. You put all three of those. I obviously do not know what the spread will be for the game against Boston. It's not posted yet. I don't know what the spread will be against Utah, but I like what I'm seeing out of this Denver team right now. Yes, this is a little bit of my hometown bias here and the fact that I like this team and I like Jokic, but the reason that I'm looking at this is it's a 6-game winning streak, folks. They are 5-1 against the spread in those six, and the only one they didn't cover was against the Miami Heat. They won by 6. The spread was 6.5. They missed it by the hook. That was it. Yeah. Otherwise, they would also be 6-0 against the spread. And then I also saw something out of them last week in the game against the Kings that I think we're going to continue to see here somewhat down the stretch. They were having this game where it was kind of ho-hum. They're losing in the second quarter. And then all of a sudden, the Nuggets had one of those hold my beer and watch this moments. And they exploded at the end of the second quarter. And by the time it got to halftime, I think they were up by 8 or 10. They just went on this obscene run and they just left the Kings in the dust. Without Devin Booker, I think they can do the same thing to the Suns tonight. I think they know that Thursday is a potential finals matchup against Boston, and Jokic gets up for those kinds of games. And then obviously Utah on Saturday, I think, is just the cherry on top. So I am blindly taking the Nuggets against the spread this week for all three games, all three of them here in Denver at Ball Arena. Tonight's so spread, excited. By the way, tonight's spread is 9.5, and I do think they can beat the Suns by double digits tonight.
I am so excited for that game on Thursday. I mean, you talk about like me this too. Time of the year and the schedules, like there's a lot of bad basketball being played right now by teams that are just came off the All-Star break and should have never come back from the beach. Like that's where their mind still is. And it's where their bodies will return come April, but Thursday night shouldn't be that. And I like watching the Nuggets kind of rope-a-dope the rest of the league for a little while, not caring if they're the one seed or not, because you know, they have the swagger that comes with having done it before and having rings in the closet already. I think that Thursday night game is going to be epic as they pull out their A game and really get into it. And we'll talk about that on Thursday's show for sure.
Absolutely, we will. Really looking forward to it. I mean, I think it's legitimately a potential finals preview, and I think it'll be a ton of fun. It's a 10 o'clock Eastern time game on Thursday night. So the folks that are watching or listening that are going to be on the East Coast, it's going to be a late night for you, but I think it's going to be worth it.
Well, we didn't coordinate picks, but we're going to stick around in Denver for a little while longer because I am also in that Suns and Nuggets game for my cred pick tonight. So for 2 units, I'm doing something that would have been wildly unprofitable for 15 straight years, but I'm tempting fate tonight. I am fading Kevin Durant, and I am fading him in a very specific way, under 8.5 first quarter points at -125. And while that might have been a bad bet against him in his entire career, it's actually been an excellent bet in his recent string of games. Because it might surprise you, Nate, to hear that KD has failed to hit 9 points in the first quarter in 19 of his last 20 games, with the sole exception being a 19-point explosion against the Jazz all the way back on February 8th. With Booker, you know, day to day, there's a chance that he kind of steps up and tries to establish himself early. But I actually think he establishes himself more as a distributor, as he has to get his teammates involved to have any chance against the Nuggets tonight. So I think he has to get him involved early and try to take over often, which is why I am definitely going against him in the first quarter. But beyond just the 19 of the last 20, Nate, you talked a lot about, you know, the home road splits and hockey and some of your other bets. The Nuggets obviously host one of the most difficult places to play in the Mile High City. I'd also tell the president of Mile High Sports that. And KD has failed to hit this bet in 15 consecutive road games.
So if he's failed in 19 out of 20, if he's playing, you know, arguably the best team in the league, and he can't seem to do it on the road, now he's got to do it in the toughest road environment that there is physically in a, you know, kind of game in the middle of March. I think all signs point to him coming up under 9 tonight, and I'm not laying that much juice for something that feels so likely.
Yeah, that's a great call, especially, like I said, Denver coming off of that big win on Saturday against the Lakers. Now they're back home. You know, they're going to play off of that energy. So I like what you're saying. And you're right. This is one of those things that over the course of his career, you wouldn't want to do with Kevin Durant. But right now, I say you do it. Good call.
Yep. All right. What do you got? What are your two units? What are you putting them on?
My two units for tonight, I'm actually going to stay in the same game. And I'm going to roll with Nikola Jokic, and I'm going to specifically roll into his rebounds plus his assists, which sits at 21.5. You're going to pay a little bit of juice on the over, but that's where I'm going. It's at minus 120. I think it may actually juice even higher to that when we get closer to tip off here. When you look at what has happened with him back on December 1st, they played the Suns and he finished right at 21. So you might be going, okay, Nate, why, if he finished at 21, why are you thinking that he's going to hit the over? It's because in that game, he only had five rebounds, five. That's it. In that game, he had 16 assists against the Suns. I think in the home contest, I think you wind up seeing him getting more boards, and I think this winds up balancing out. I could see this being more like a 14-10, a 13-11, something like that type of split for him. Maybe he winds up coming in just under in one of the categories, but I think he makes up for it in the others. You know, he's a guy, everybody that's watched him understands that he loves getting his teammates involved, but I think he can clean the glass here against the Suns. And so even though he finished right at that 21, it's an anomaly, folks, for him to only finish with five boards in a game. So I like the over in this one. Two units for me, paying a little bit of juice, just like you are with your Durant bet at minus 120. But I will take Jokic to be able to lead the squad and do that just in his rebounds plus assists over 21.5.
I'm crazy enough to fade KD. I'm not crazy enough to fade Jokic. So I did not like seeing this one come across. I'm a little afraid of it. I thought I was going to jump out to a lead on you, but I think the tables might turn on that
one. Yeah. All right. I got to play this game right.
Well, there you go. You got through it for the first time. What'd you think of it?
I like it. You know, I like the format. I like the head-to-head fun that we're able to have. And I like the fact that, because I'm sure there'll be something at some point this week that you're going to look at me like I got horns coming out of my head. And you're going to be like, I am fading the living daylights out of you on this one. We are not, I'm not in agreement. And it happens. It happens with Brad and I all the time. And in fact, it happened on the pod this morning for today's episode where I completely disagreed with him on something. So I know it'll wind up happening here between you and I.
Cool. All right. Well, let's pay a couple more bills. We'll take a break. We'll do our second guest express, and I'll get you to plug the rest of your shows, including the one you recorded with Brad this morning. All right, Nate, we are back, and I grabbed the honors as defending champ up front, but let's go ahead and cede the floor over to you, sir. What was your bet that is sitting on your betting bench tonight, which guarantees it to hit as one of your starters fails you?
It is sitting on my bench. And what's funny is it's actually going to contradict a little bit of what I just said with my cred pick. It's the one that is sitting on my bench, and that is Nikola Jokic for a triple-double. You can get that right now at plus 160, which is one of the best juice opportunities that I have seen for his triple double in probably the last 60 to 75 days. Most of the time, this is going to be around even money, maybe plus 110, maybe plus 120. So seeing it at plus 160 makes it awfully tempting. But the reason why it is sitting on my bench is because he might be sitting on the bench. Again, the Nuggets are favored by 9.5. They might boat race Phoenix right out of the gym. And by the time Jokic sits down late in the third quarter, as he is known to do, it's possible that that warm-up never comes back off. And there have been plenty of times where if you look at the trend or you look at the projections of a game, he's well on his way to the triple-double, but then he doesn't get a lot of minutes and in some cases doesn't play at all. in the fourth quarter, and we as bettors wind up missing out on his triple-double. So even though he is very much a triple-double machine, I've decided to leave this one on the bench because he might do what we affectionately refer to locally as the Sombor triple-double, which is where he finishes with nine in a particular category, and he misses out on it by one. It's actually pretty ridiculous, folks. If you go and look at him, even just over this season, over the last couple of seasons, you want to talk about how many triple doubles he has notched in his career. If you could see how many times in the last two seasons he's finished where he's missed it by one in a particular category, it's absolutely nuts. So this one's going to sit on my bench, despite the fact that the juice is really, really calling my name. I'm not going to make the bet tonight because I think it might be one of those Sombor triple doubles.
Yeah, and he also might not want to push himself too much ahead of that Celtics game on Thursday night. I do have one question for you, though.
Yeah.
Does he have like some Larry Bird or some like Michael Jordan in him? Is he going to go out and try to destroy Nurkic tonight after Nurkic has posted 31 rebounds his last time out? Does he have that gear where he just wants to like rip somebody's heart out? Or he seems more like, hey, I just want to race horses in Serbia and collect my trophies as they go.
So what's funny is I think he has it on occasion, but I don't think he necessarily carries it on a personal level. I think he carries it from a team level. Mm-hmm. I think it's why it's why sometimes you see him, like we've seen him have a triple double by halftime, right? Yeah. We've seen him have a triple double by midway through the third quarter. And I think it's because sometimes he comes out, he wants to push everybody forward. And then once he's feeling comfortable, he lets up on the gas. And I think I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of what that is it's, he understands how to and when to expend his energy. And when to be able to sit back and recognize that it's not necessary and that he can sort of lay back. I think it's when people think it looks like he's lazy. He's not, I think he just understands how to use the gas in the tank. Yeah. So do I think he wants to come out and show something? Yeah, I think that he does, but I think to a certain extent, it's not that same sort of, I want to not only beat you, but I want to step on your throat that MJ had or that Bird had. I think as long as he looks up and his team is winning, that's all he cares about when it comes to stepping on somebody's throat.
Yeah, and it's also like he makes the right decision with the basketball virtually 100% of the time. So once you're at 100%, there is no 110% in terms of like decisions. Like he does the right thing every single time. So how much higher of a level can he achieve? He doesn't have many more places to go up because he sits there at the highest level all the time.
He does sit there, and you talk about him making the decisions with the ball. I'm convinced if we went back and looked at this season, if we edited together tape of every one of his turnovers, I am convinced that at minimum a third of them would be that one of his teammates wasn't where he thought they were going to be. That he thought somebody was going to cut and maybe they juked and then they cut back to the left instead of to the right. I mean, he had that in the game against the Lakers. He made a pass where he thought, I can't remember who it was, it might have been Christian Brown, that he thought was actually going to roll baseline, and Christian actually started to curl back up to the outside of the three-point arc. And so the pass went out of bounds because Jokic thought he was doing one thing and Christian went the other way. I'm convinced that at least a third of his turnovers are actually not his fault. That he's trying to make a spectacular play and somebody went the wrong direction.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody's charted that. I'd like to see the same thing. It's kind of like a Mahomes interception that bounces off somebody's hands and gets picked off. It's different than Kirk Cousins' interception because he fails to see the linebacker for the 10,000th time.
Yeah, so, exactly. There's a big difference in those two. And so when you talk about Jokic and you talk about making the right decisions, I really do think that's what it is. I think what we're watching right now in the NBA is really special, folks. What he's doing, a big man should not be able to do.
Agreed. We want to talk about right decisions. This is basically a public service announcement. My second guess expresses Jaylen Brown over half a first quarter assist. So he will record an assist in the first quarter. It sits at minus 154. it should be so much higher than this. I don't understand why the juice always sits this low on this bet, Nate. I bring it up once every couple of weeks because I don't want people to forget about it. 9 of the last 10, 18 of the last 20, still over 80% for the season. And now you have the Celtics that are blitzing the league. So if you want to make their picks, you want to make early picks. You want to make first quarter bets because, you know, talking about Jokic sitting on a bench. Why are Tatum and Brown ever going to play in a fourth quarter again besides the Nuggets game until April? Because they're just destroying people right now. So I'd like the payouts more on the other picks, and I expect Nate to put up a pretty high week this week. So I didn't think I could afford to put a minus 154 in my picks, but its juice does not equal its actual value right now. And while you might look at that and say, I don't want to pay the minus 154, the true value is probably closer to like the mid 200s than it is where it's sitting. And so keep betting it as long as you can.
Yeah, my bet along those same lines, and it's obviously not something I brought up on the pod today, but I love to bet the gifts in the National Hockey League, the goal in the first 10. For those of you that don't bet hockey, but you bet baseball, it's the same as the Nerfy and the Yerfy, a yes or a no run in the first inning, okay? So in hockey, you can do a bet called the gift. It stands for goal in the first 10, and I'm a big fan of that because I follow trends. I look at what teams do. If you listen to the Fade 5 podcast that I do with Brad, you will know there is one team and one team that we pick on like you wouldn't believe, and that is the Ottawa Senators, specifically when Ottawa is on the road. And the reason for that is because Ottawa has either scored or allowed a gift in 85% of their road games this season. It is insane. Now, what winds up happening is it's way juiced up. So I normally pair it up with something and I try to get myself a little bit closer to some standard juice. But those of you that have heard me before or have watched the Fade 5 with Brad and I, you know that I love to pick on the Ottawa Senators. And the reason I bring that up is because Ottawa's on the road tomorrow against Anaheim. So I can guarantee you that's going to be a part of one of my plays when I make my picks for Hump Day Hockey.
All right. Well, there you go. So, Nate, I was going to ask you to plug your show, but you've done such a great job of plugging it organically throughout the rest of the time. So the Fave 5 podcast, you get wherever you listen to your podcast. Anywhere else people should look for you this week?
Yeah, you can find me. First of all, you can always find me on the X on Twitter, whatever. It's just at Nate Lundy. You can find me there pinned right to the top of my profile. Very much like Brad, I have a free spreadsheet. It is posted. It has all my picks. It has my NBA. It has my NHL. Baseball will be starting later this month. That'll be on there as well. Everything is posted up there. It is transparent, shows you what I bet, shows you what I've hit, shows you what I don't hit. And so maybe you're not interested in hockey, but you want to know what I think about NBA or, you know, in a couple of months when we start talking baseball, where I had so much success last year, that's all posted up there. And again, it's not behind a paywall. It's literally just a Google spreadsheet that anybody can be able to access. So that's one of the ways that folks can be able to find me. And of course you can follow me there on the X. And I'll tell you and tell producer Brett and everybody else, the reason this is a longer episode, I would like to go back to the beginning and remind you that I started in radio when I was 16 years old. Folks, all I know how to do is talk and talk and talk. So every time I make a guest appearance on anyone's program, we always wind up running long. So I apologize for eating up everybody's drive time on this particular episode.
Well, I can't wait to have you back on Thursday. So thank you for all the people that reached out. I've had some stuff going on in my personal life that caused us to adjust our schedule this week. We will be back. I know we're usually Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but we're going to be Tuesday, Thursday, Friday this particular week. Same number of shows, same amount of nonsense, and even bonus time with Nate because he cannot shut up. He's been doing this too long.
Exactly. I got to go now. You got it. Somebody hang up on me. Otherwise, I'm going to keep talking. Just hit the button.
All right, Brett, hit the button. We'll see everybody Thursday. Thanks for listening. We will be back then.